Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Today, our topic is our merciful God from Matthew 9, verse 9 to 34. For some of us who may be new, today, last 2 weeks, we have been preaching about the kingdom authority and the demonstration of God's power by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is from Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. Last Sunday, we were reminded by Pastor Timothy that God saves us in our storms. He delivers us from our oppression. And He forgives us of all our sins. Praise be to Jesus. So this morning, we will continue on this kingdom demonstration, but with a zoom-in focus on the mercy and the compassion of Jesus towards sinners and the outcasts of the society. You see, the gospel writer Matthew wants us to see that Jesus is not just some mere miracle worker exercising raw supernatural power. No, He wants to show us that Jesus is that most merciful God who is so tender-hearted to grave sinners and outcasts of society. And you can see this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 to 13. Allow me to read the scripture. As Jesus passed on from there, He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And He said to him, "Follow me," and he arose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and His disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to His disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when He heard, He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." We must realize how shocking and scandalous this must have been in the eyes of the religious teachers and the average man in Palestine. For no respectable teacher would do that, because it totally upsets the norm and it offends everyone of what the sense of rightness is. But our hearts must be drawn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, when the Lord Jesus says, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous but sinners." Jesus quoted this from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. And there he reads, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." You see, in the book of Hosea, Israel was charged for following the religious duties and of the sacrificial offerings according to the Mosaic law, but they had forgotten the heart of the law, which is mercy and compassion. And therefore, by quoting Hosea, Jesus is simply reminding what the Pharisees already know, that they are right now following in the same footsteps, the foolishness of their forefathers. In Hosea, in Hebrew, the word for steadfast love is hesed. But in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, the Greek word, first time being used, eleos, which has been translated either as mercy in the ESV or the NIV, but in the New American Standard Version, it is translated as compassion. So what does it mean that God desires mercy or compassion and not sacrifice? Well, one scholar puts this well: it's not about careful ritual, but costly love. As we follow Jesus, we will have to watch ourselves very closely, And sometimes we can be very attentive to doing this and doing that, attending this to this and attending to that, serving in this and serving in that, but fail to exercise mercy and compassion on others. And therefore, in the words of Jesus, we must go and learn what this means. For following Jesus is not just about some careful ritual or routine, but costly love. For the rest of our time, let's zoom into the various narratives from Matthew 9, verse 9 to 34, and let's unpack the supreme love and compassion of Jesus. And you will see, as an overview, the mercy of Jesus in three specific ways. First is His mercy without reservation. It will be mercy without limitation. And finally, mercy without fixation. So let's look at the first point for today's sermon, mercy without reservation. Our sermon covers a very broad five narratives altogether. It has started with the calling of Matthew. He has a question on fasting. And then there are three miracles. A girl restored to life and a woman healed, intertwined as one narrative. The healing of two blind men. And finally, the healing of a mute man. I will not be covering each of these segments in great detail, but I'll simply point out to you how it emphasizes on the merciful hands and the hearts of our Lord Jesus. So let's look at the first sermon point, the mercy of God without reservation. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and His disciples. I like a friend who used these words, Jesus hangs out with sinners. They were not just sitting prim and proper, three-piece suit in some boardroom setting. They were not sitting in some fine dining restaurant that you just got to be careful about all your social etiquettes. No, they were reclining, the Bible says, in Matthew's home, as specified by the Synoptic Gospel, though it's not clear in Matthew. And it is a Jewish way of reclining on couches, facing the food on a central table. You know, like that kind of style. You've seen it in some pictures before. It is bad enough to hang around tax collectors. You would hang around sinners. The scholars say sinners include harlots, gluttons, Singaporeans will qualify as that, drunkards, and other disreputable people. Later on, Matthew Gospel in chapter 11, verse 19, will give Jesus this tremendous title, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Listen to what one scholar said about this socialization, the Jewish socialization. It says, table fellowship was an important social and religious convention among many groups in the ancient world. Boundaries were established that designated who was to be included and excluded from the meal, and also served to delineate religious and ethical obligations towards the participants. The shared meal was a formal occasion where group members consumed food made sacred through various ritual practices such as ceremonial washings or tithing. Participants were often marked out by a proud, required initiation. In other words, all these people Jesus associated with were not just seen as bad characters, bad they are, but they were religiously unclean in the books of the religious teachers. And therefore, Jesus, by association, has disqualified and contaminated Himself ceremonially. And that is why Jesus had to state His case in verse 12. He says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but only those who are sick. You see, Jesus was in no way condoning anyone's sin, but simply stating their real need. One scholar said, there is no suggestion here that he went to sinners because they gladly received him. Rather, he went to them because they were sinners, just as a doctor goes to the sick because they are sick. Brothers and sisters, let's pause to apply this. Let's pause to reflect on the mercy of God to everyone without reservation. Jesus hangs out with tax collectors and sinners, those who were deemed unclean and rejected by society. And one of them, Matthew, even became one of his 12 disciples. How scandalous can you get? As we think about this, there might be some of us gathering in worship this morning. And unknown to many, you might feel that you are beyond the reach and the love of Jesus. And I want to tell you that you are wrong. Because Jesus wants to be your friend. He is so, so much bigger than all our darkness combined together. Come to Jesus. He is a friend of sinners. At the same time, there may be some of us here gathered for worship and sometimes feel some people don't belong here. Some people who may have mental stresses. Some people who may have special needs and they create extra noises. And for that matter, sometimes we can't stand children in the sanctuary. My parents do take a lot of effort just to come to church on Sunday with young children. And sometimes we feel some people don't belong here because they are different from us. Different from us, different from me. And we have what is socially acceptable. I remember in Bukit Panjang many, many years ago, there's this lady in her 30s with some mental stress. It's clearly some mental stress, but she wants to come to church to worship God. But she always sits right in the front. And she coughs incessantly. And that disturbs everyone. And we get many complaints. We try to educate the congregation. At the same time, we also reach out to her and understand what sort of background she comes from. And over time, we get to understand her so much better. And we were able even to get her cooperation in many things. And of course, we accepted her as one of us, worshiping in the congregation with her occasional coughs. And that demonstrates such a beauty of what is it like to worship together even though someone next to you is so different from you. But it demonstrates the beauty, the mercy, and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ together. Yes, the church must be a place where broken people find Jesus and find us as friends. For this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mercy to all, without reservation. Let's move on and see the mercy of Jesus expressed in the second way. Mercy without limitation. In Matthew 9, verse 18 to 26, we have two narratives weave as one. The healing of the woman with the bleeding problem and the restoration of a girl who had died. So reading from Matthew 9, verse 18 to 26. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And seeing her, she said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly, the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. In reference to the Synoptic Gospel, which is Mark and Luke as well, besides Matthew, here was a reputable, wealthy community leader's name, Jairus, although not identified in Matthew. He was also the ruler of the synagogue. So think about this. No matter how much prestige, wealth, and power he must have, he was desperate, helpless, because his daughter had just passed away. You see, death has a way of putting all of us on the same line. But he heard of Jesus, and he believed that if only Jesus would touch her daughter, she would be raised back to life. After all, he had read of the story of Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament of raising dead people. For if Jesus is the promised Messiah, surely he can do it. So his hope shot to the sky when Jesus agreed to come to his house. We know the end of the story. Jesus took the dead girl by the hand and she came back to life. Mercy without limitation whatsoever in the hands of Jesus. But before the story concluded, Matthew interjected it with another account. A woman with an unresolved bleeding problem for the past 12 years. Again, the Synoptic Gospel revealed to us that she had spent all her financial resources to get help. But not only did she not get well, she got worse. Isn't it true sometimes the best money and doctors cannot solve our problem? Scholars believe that she had a disease in which the menstrual flow is abnormally prolonged, usually producing anemia as well. The condition was all the more difficult because she would have been considered ritually unclean and excluded from normal social and religious relations, since others making contact with her would become unclean as well. In other words, she was a virtual leper who had to leave her family and village, lest contact with her renders everyone ritually unclean. But it's impossible for us to understand the agony of her heart and her soul and what this poor woman had gone through for 12 years. But she found hope in Jesus. You see, unlike Jairus, she couldn't hope that Jesus would touch her. But on the reverse, she prayed that she could touch Jesus. And so she did. If only she could just touch, even the garments of Jesus will do. What hope and faith. And we all know how the story panned out. She squeezed herself through the crowd and she touched Jesus' garment. And she was healed instantly. The Synoptic Gospel tells us Jesus felt power went out of him and he stopped to inquire. And so she came forward in fear and trembling. But Jesus had only words of mercy and compassion for her. "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." You see, in both these accounts, weave as one together, we learn that the mercy of Christ is without limitation. Whether it's Jesus touching the dead girl or the bleeding woman touching Jesus, even the garment of Jesus, his mercy is without restriction. Time does not permit me to include even the healing of the two blind men and the deliverance of the milkman in Matthew 9, verse 27 to 34. But it will suffice to say that in Jewish beliefs, blindness was often regarded as punishment for their sins. You remember the account in John chapter 9. Therefore, his unceasing, loud, desperate cry of the two blind men for mercy, appealing to the messianic title of Jesus, Son of David, was right on target. They saw him as the Messiah. And therefore, he could do it. Likewise, for the last account, the deliverance of the mute man from demonic oppression emphasized the messianic king is truly in their midst. But look at Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 to 6. The scripture reads, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." You see, whether it is the healing of the woman with the bleeding problem, or the raising of the dead girl, the healing of the two blind men, or the deliverance of the mute man, all the miraculous restoration of broken humanity points to the mercy of God that is without limitation or restriction. Why? Because Jesus is the true messianic king. Let's pause and apply this. Some of us here today might find ourselves in situations where no amount of reputation, money, or expertise could solve our problem. But the good news of the gospel is Jesus can. But he tells us to come to him desperately to ask for the touch of Jesus or for us to touch Jesus. I'm not saying that Jesus will heal you of all your diseases and all your problems will disappear overnight. What I'm saying is that he will grant you beyond what you dare to ask or imagine. For beyond physical healings and deliverance from death and impossible situations, Jesus can give to you his ultimate hope and courage. For beyond the brokenness and pain that we might be facing, Jesus can give you that inner joy and peace beyond what this world can offer. Recently, I read this in a devotional. The author asked this question: what takes away your peace? Think about it just for a moment. What takes away your peace? He said these three things that really resonated in my heart. What takes away our peace? Circumstances that are uncontrollable. Are there? Are there uncontrollable situations in your life right now? People who are unchangeable. The one sitting next to you. Unchangeable people piss us off. Yeah. Maybe the one up there, your boss. Or the one down there, your direct reports. And finally, he said, problems. They're unexplainable. Unexplainable. That morning, my devotion, I says, how true. How our peace and tranquility goes out of the window when the uncontrollable, the unchangeable, and the unexplainable meet us as our doorstep. Are you facing one of those moments now? Come forward for prayer later on and receive the mercy and the compassion of the living Christ. The great Timothy Keller, who passed away a couple of years ago, 2 years ago maybe, wrote a fantastic book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. These are some of his best quotations. He says, when pain and suffering come upon us, we finally see not only that we are not in control of our lives, but that we never were. How true, isn't it? Because we all live with the illusion that we have control, maybe some control. It only takes a circumstance to realize that we are mere mortal beings with no control of what happens to us tomorrow. He also said Jesus Christ did not suffer so that you would not suffer. He suffered so that when you suffer, you become more like him. sharing in the fellowship of his suffering, says Paul. The gospel does not promise you better life circumstances. It promises you a better life. And finally, this is what he said. You don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Is Jesus all that we have? So, brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever circumstance you may find yourself in today, Jesus invites you to come to him in desperate dependence because his mercy is without limitation, because Jesus is all you need and he can lead you to the better way and the better life. Finally, God's mercy is not just without reservation or limitation, it is also mercy without fixation. Let me read Matthew 9, verse 14 to 17, and we backed up to the narrative. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unstrung cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskin. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. You see, the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ was to fulfill every righteousness and to redefine everything that the Jewish folks had known to be true. See, the observance of the law of God has now become a bondage and religious facade rather than a delight to God. And therefore, Jesus taught and lived in such a way to challenge their traditions and religion. For he associates freely with sinners, they will never do that. He does not observe their religious practices like fasting. He even heals on the Sabbath. Everything that challenged their traditions. But we, as New Testament believers right now, understand this because he was simply introducing a whole new era of kingdom life and reality that breaks the old ways of Judaism. And that is why in the verses that we just read, Jesus gave the analogy how no one will patch an old clothing with a new cloth, because when the new cloth strings, it will tear away from the old cloth. Or no one puts new wine into old wineskin. For when the new wine ferments and expands, it will break the old wineskin that has become hard and brittle. What's the point? Well, the point is the new covenant, ushered in by the blood and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot be contained in the Old Testament sacrificial system of cows and bulls. This is a whole new way of kingdom life and righteousness. And the Apostle Paul says it best in 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old has gone. The new is here. In other words, the mercy of God is without fixation on past traditions or instruction, but is based on the new revelation and the inspiration of the gospel to everyone to the ends of the earth. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the supreme mercy and the compassion of God to everyone who believes. No one will be excluded. It is for every tongue, tribe, and people. Brothers and sisters, we pause to apply this because the religious teachers of the times, Jesus' time, did not understand what Jesus was doing or what he was teaching, because they kept to their old systems, insisted on their own ways. But pause and think, for us as 21st century believers, we are likewise challenged with this same problem. Because we call ourselves Christians, but we can be no different from the Jewish folks when we choose to live by our own standards and ways. We do our religious duties on Sunday, but we can live a life that is apart from Christ and His kingdom priorities. That's not the Christian life. That's not the new life. That's your life. That's my life. That's not the life of Christ in us. Matthew challenged us to follow Jesus wherever He goes. And therefore, we have to quit the religious facade and ask God to free us from any fixation of the old ways that will prevent us from living the new life in Jesus. We have to break away from the business as usual and rise with Spirit-empowered faithfulness, fervency, and devotedness unto Jesus. Mark Batterson, in a book that the staff and the board are reading right now, has one of these quotes. He says, "One of the fundamental spiritual problems is this. We want God to do something new while we keep doing the same old thing. We want God to change our circumstances without us having to change at all. But if we are asking God for new wine, we will need new wine skin." May 2025 become the year where we can all break away from any fixation of the past and even the present and go all in for Jesus and His kingdom from tomorrow. Allow me to conclude the sermon for this morning. Jesus proclaimed these words in Matthew 9:13. "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." I've tried to show you the incredible mercy and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ in these three ways. Mercy of God without reservation, without limitation, without fixation. Because Jesus is the Messiah that will break all chains of darkness to show us the light. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes everything. And may we therefore experience the power and the reality in all the situations in our life. This week, there was a video interview of Pastor Kong Hee from City Harvest Church, conducted by a Taiwanese pastor, and it was circulating in the social media. 1 hour and 20 minutes long. Check it out. Some of you would have seen it. In summary, it is about his life and ministry before and after prison. What is it all about? It is all about the importance of soul care and prioritizing the intimacy and relationship with Jesus over everything else in his life. It is about the redemptive mercy and the compassion of God despite one's failures. What struck me incredibly was how he determined to live out the gospel in his life now in three very specific ways that will challenge us to the core. For he said he lived right now zero anger in his life. Zero anger. When you go to the food court later on or drive out, remember this, yeah. Constant forgiveness. Unlimited patience. Wow. I call that transformation. For out of the mercies and compassions of God in his life, he is transformed from the inside out to pursue a Christ-like life and character as he seeks to be an encourager to every living person he meets. What do you call that? A broken vessel, like all of us, but touched by the grace of God, transformed forever for his glory. We don't need a crisis to change our life, do we? Because we have Christ. we have Christ. Because Christ specializes in mending broken vessels to make us whole again, to set us free. Come to the mercies and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Let's pause and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us beyond the words. Listen to the voice of the Spirit of the living God. Open up your hearts. Receive the mercy and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. God is bigger than all our darkness. God wants to draw near to you as a friend. Will you stretch forth to touch Him? Will you ask Jesus to touch you afresh? We're going to close with the same song that we sang at the prelude, Broken Vessels. Let's come as broken vessels and allow the Lord Jesus to set us free. Will you stand together with me? Ask the worship team to lead us as we worship God with this song.
All these pieces, broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole, empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free.
God is here. He can see you for who you are and where you are. There's no need for us to hide from Him. He hangs out with broken vessels to make you whole, to restore you. That is the gospel of Jesus. This morning, I want to pray for you. If you are facing any uncontrollable situations in your life, any unchangeable situations, whether people or circumstance, or for that matter, unexplainable situations, you're caught in the thick of it. You're asking God for His mercy and compassion. It is readily available right here, right now. So all eyes are closed, nobody is looking around. I simply want to pray for you that you will receive God's magnificent mercy and compassion that will transform us from the inside out, and therefore live in such a way that is totally different, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So anyone caught in any uncontrollable, unchangeable, unexplainable situation, all eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, I just want to pray for you. Just lift up your right hand. I want to pray for you, that's all. Anyone? Yes. Just lift up your hands. I simply want to pray for you. Come, surrender. Surrender these situations to God right now. Come. Come to the living Christ. Come. Let Him hold on to you. Let Him walk with you, that you might experience the freedom, the empowerment that is found only in Christ Jesus. Father, for the hands that are raised to you right now, would you draw near to them? Draw near. They are your sons and your daughters, dear Father. And let the raising of their hands right now hear the words of Jesus saying, your faith has made you well. Lord, Lord, we cried out to you, Lord, because we have weaknesses, we have sins in our life. We cannot see, Lord, our hearts are hardened. We don't know what to do next, dear Lord. And Lord, we pray you will draw near. Come upon us right now, Lord, in your special ways. And lead us in the way everlasting, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, because that new life begins right now, Lord, because of Jesus, our Lord, our Master, who is all compassionate, who is all merciful, dear Father, without reservation, without limitation, without fixation, O God. Heal us, O God, these broken vessels, and set us free, O God. Put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's continue to worship God and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us.
You take our failures, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your.
You'd spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.